This morning, I feel a little bit closer to heaven because of the raised platform. So I want you likewise to be a little closer to the heaven by asking you to stand with me. Can? Okay, please stand. I want to declare the word of God aloud together, and then after that, we want to read a passage taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Are you ready? Let's lift up the word of God together. If you have your Bible or your tablet, let's declare this aloud at a count of three. One, two, three. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It informs my mind. It inspires my heart and instructs my behavior. So help me God. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to declare the word of God together? Yes, sir. Okay. We read it with passion, because we want, you know, the atmosphere here to permeate with the powerful word of God. Amen? At a count of three. One, two, three. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which they just as they had been told. Father, let, Lord, this celebration truly, Lord, be glorifying to you, God. Thank you for your precious word. May your word so speak to us, and we as your obedient children will respond to bring honor to you. Lord, bless this hour in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Friends, as you walk in, you see that this whole place is all decorated up for this Christmas season. And what a beautiful work that has been done by many people. And I believe when you come in, I just want to ask of your opinion. As you observe all the revelry, as you observe all the nice presentations and the decoration, let me ask you this opinion, and I want to seek of your thoughts, yeah? Give me one word, just one word, a single word, that describes what Christmas is all about, okay? It is not a name that I'm asking for, but I'm asking you a word. What is Christmas all about? Anyone? Love. Good. I like that. Anyone else? Party. Wow. Okay. We are having parties, many parties since last weekend and also this weekend. I heard that there were many CG Christmas parties that were going on and they had a wonderful time, and especially for the many guests that will be coming. To me, if ever there's this one word which describes what is Christmas all about, it would be this little word, joy, J-O-Y. And quite a few of all our all-time favorite carols alludes and points to this word, joy. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And we just sang this song, joy to the world, the Lord is come. And then shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? We have even named some of our children Joy, J-O-Y. And out of curiosity, I wonder how many of us feel joyful today. It is not difficult to feel joy when you come to this church, because you look at the smiling faces, you are already joyful. And not only that, quite often I get hugs, not only from children, but also from adults. When we connect body to body, I just feel such great joy. Likewise for the person who hugged me. And like many of the ushers here, and also the pastors, and also your leaders, when you shook hands with them, you feel joyful likewise. And we also sang some wonderful and glorious song, and somehow with the uplifting of our hearts, we just feel such great joy. And we tend to link joy with happiness, that we think it depends on the activities that we do. Well, let me tell you this. You can't have joy frantically rushing from the shopping from one shopping mall to another, and then, you know, from hopping to one party to another. And in fact, going to the mall at this time, at this season of the year, it's a great way to diminish your joy. Because by the time you want to look for a parking spot, you say, I'm all flustered. And especially with my wife sitting beside me, oh, yo, there was a parking spot and you didn't notice it. How come you drove past it? Yeah. I'm talking about, I don't want to say who, huh? Okay, yeah. So where does Christmas joy come from? Listen to Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And see if you can find the answer. I'd like us to read aloud together, Ken, so that we are in tandem. At a count of three, one, two, three. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." You see, the shepherds here, they were going through their usual and unexcited duty of tending their sheep in the middle of the night. And what happened here? Suddenly, they were terrified out of their wits. There were this host of angelic choir that came to sing. And there was this angel that came with this great announcement. And he says, this announcement, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Everybody, say aloud together with me, good news of great joy. Well done, well done. And what is this good news of great joy? Verse 11 points to us the answer. And the angel gave the best ever announcement. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And if you are searching for Christmas joy, all you need is found in this verse. So the big idea for this message this morning is Christ the Lord, the good news that brings great joy. Can you turn to your neighbor and give your neighbor a big smile and say, great joy? Well, when you look at your neighbor with that smile, you are just so joyful, right? Great joy indeed. And it's the angel who interprets the true significance of this story. And the angel heralds. The word herald, it is like the boy, you know, the newcaster standing at the corner on a soapbox, heralding, crying out, announcing with, you know, at the top of his lungs, three Christmas joys about this narrative. First, the announcement that Jesus is born. And I like us to look at this short phrase. It says here, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The three words there, has been born to you. And as we focus upon that, the angel announced the fact of what happened in Bethlehem. That it was nothing less than the birth of a baby named Jesus Christ. And Apostle John proclaimed, the main thing happened. And this is taken from John chapter 1, verses 14. And it says here that the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. I witnessed the birth of all my four children, and I will never forget the indescribable feeling. And I can't put a word to describe the tremendous joy and yet relief. Finally, the baby arrived. After waiting for 13 hours for one, and then another for 15 hours, it really did happen. For those of us fathers, you have witnessed that. You know, there's something that happened, that transacted. There were tears welling in your eyes when you see the birth of your child. And there are two aspects of the reality of Jesus' birth we need to highlight. And the first is that there were no recorded miracles associated with the physical birth of Jesus. And even though we often speak of the virgin birth of Christ, it's important to remember that the real miracle took place 9 months earlier when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, with the result that although she was a virgin, she became pregnant. And that was a colossal miracle, which has never been repeated in the history of this world. However, from that point on, Mary's pregnancy followed the normal course of all human pregnancies, leading to the momentous night in Bethlehem, when she gave birth to our Lord Jesus Christ in a stable. And although Luke gives no details, we may safely assume that the delivery itself was normal in every way, or at least as normal as any birth could be under such trying circumstances and unhygienic conditions. From time to time, we read of women giving birth in unseemly places, in a plane, in the toilet, at a restaurant, in the car, at a mall, sometimes alone, sometimes attended by a very frightened husband. I remembered vividly the birth in this house. It was 27th December, 1997. And it was in the wee early of the morning hours. My house phone rang nonstop. Ring, ring, ring. And I think it went on close to 5 minutes. And since I was in such a deep sleep after a beautiful evening with my wife, I only heard it, you know, after it rang so many times. I took the receiver, and at the other end of the line, it was my cell member. Many years ago, I was a cell leader. And he says, I was going to say pastor. I'm not a pastor then. Okay. He says, Moyhao, come over to my place. You know, my wife is giving birth. Oh. I say, if your wife is giving birth, you know, take her to the hospital, you know. What can I do, huh? Yeah, okay. So after a few minutes, I just couldn't get through to him. You know, he says, my wife is giving birth. So I couldn't understand him. Or he, you know, he really couldn't get through to me. So I thought my wife is the smarter one. So I passed the phone to her. And she asked the same question. He said, take the baby. You know, take your wife to the hospital. And likewise, after a few minutes, it just didn't get through. So we quickly dress up, and we rush over to this place. It took about 6 to 7 minutes. And as we got there, nearing there, I saw the second boy of this family. He was at the gate. He must have been jumping up and down, shouting to the neighbor for help. But when he saw our car with the headlights coming in, he was so glad. And when I alighted, and he said, uncle, go in. So we went in, and then the oldest son, it was at the base of the staircase. He said, "Uncle, uncle, go up, go up." So we also rushed up. When we rushed up, when we were about to enter the room, oh, the scene shocked us. The baby already came out from the mother's womb. And the dad has already pricked the water back. Okay. All kinds of stuff came out. It was slimy. It was slippery. It was not a good sight to look at, you know. So I, being a gentleman, I turned my back, and my wife, the brave one, rushed in. So we do not know what to do. So the first thing that I did was I called 999. At the time, it's 999, not 911. Then at the other end, you know, it says, "Hello, apa saya boleh buat?" I was, you know, so excited. I was so panicky. I say, "Datang, datang, hantar ambulance. Ada satu anak sudah keluar." And then the other line was so calm. "Apa anak sudah keluar?" And I couldn't get through. So after a while, I just put down, you know, the phone. And then next, I called, you know, a church member who is a doctor. And you know what? We gave instruction. We gave instruction on how to deliver the baby. And my wife, they were sitting beside the bed together with the husband, yeah? And this is what it is. From the doctor to me. First, get a pair of scissors and make sure this scissors is rendam or, you know, soak in hot water. Yeah. Okay. Next, I shouted, you know, from my phone to the room inside. Next, use the scissors, cut the umbilical cord. Cut umbilical cord. And then they cut, yeah. Wow. So after doing all this, my wife cradled the little infant. The little infant started to turn a little bluish. That shows, you know, there's not enough oxygen coming in. I believe my wife watched too many drama or TV or baby delivery. So what she did was, you know, she cuddled the little baby and tried to put her little finger into the mouth of the child, you know, to dig out the mucus. But since it's so fragile, you don't know how deep that you want to go to. But she didn't manage to go deep. The next scene in the TV came to her mind. You know, turn the baby upside down and give him a big smack. But you know what? Wow, so slippery, scared lah. So she just cradled him like that. Where got feeling, Okay. Even if she does that to me, no feeling, But she does it harder, okay? Yeah. And what happened? Well, that little baby was turning more blue now. We were really panicky. Yeah. So what we did was wrap the little baby in a cloth, and we rushed down, went into my car, and that night, I just want to confess to you this morning, I broke 3 traffic lights rule, okay? And I've never driven as fast as I could before. You know, going from my house to this person's place took about 7 minutes. But when I drove from this man's house to the hospital, oh, I took 4 minutes. Okay? I think I outdrove Lewis Hamilton. And as we got to the hospital, but before that, along the way, we prayed this prayer like we never prayed before. We prayed like life and death depends on our words. And you know what? Our prayer was just so simple. My wife sitting behind and I was driving. I just cried out to God, "God, save this child! God, save this child!" You know, not my usual PIC kind of a thing where I can pray on and on. The next sentence just got stuck. "God, save this child! God, save this child!" And we arrived at the hospital. I parked my car. My wife rushed in. And as I go into the emergency ward there, as I was about to walk past the curtain, I heard this cry. The cry of the baby. Wow, it was such a lovely cry. And my heart welled up with such great joy. And you know what? Because of that, the baby is alive. Okay? Yeah. Let's give praise to the Lord. And since it happened in 1997, the baby is no longer a baby. Okay, it's a young man of 19 year old. We praise God. He's good. He's healthy. There's no brain damage. Let me, yeah. Okay, God is good, yeah? God protected that life, yeah? Let me tell you this, next time, cell group leader or pastors, if it ever happens to you, take note of this key instruction. Do not burst the water bag. Leave it alone. I heard from good advice from a midwife nurse. He says, when the fetus is in the water bag, there are still half an hour of oxygen left. Okay? So take note of that, huh? Wow, I pray that one of you will encounter that. So bad, this pastor. Huh? So such instances are normal births that happen in extraordinary circumstances. And the birth of Jesus falls into that category. And a true event took place in a normal way, in a very abnormal situation. Secondly, it's important to remind ourselves that the word today means that it really happened. Pastor and theologian Francis Schaeffer used to talk about lower story truth and upper story truth. Lower story truth is made up of the facts of history, that things really happened at a certain time, in a place, to a particular person. By contrast, upper story truth refers to fables and myths, like the fables of Aesop, that everyone knows are not true. I point this out comparison because the Christian church has always professed its belief in the literal truth of the virgin birth. And the ancient Apostles' Creed puts it this way: I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. To use Francis Schaeffer's term, the birth of Jesus is lower story truth because it really and truly happened. So when we read, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So let us remember that it points to something that's absolutely true, an event that really happened. Not a legend or a nicely told fairy tale. Everything about the story is true, including the vital truth that there really was a baby born in Bethlehem, who really was the Son of God, and Jesus was born in a stable. So it's an announcement of Christmas joy about Jesus' birth, and secondly, the joyous announcement that Jesus, the Savior, has arrived. Jesus is Savior, Christ Lord. Now we come to the central part of this verse. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. From the Greek text of verse 11, each word, Savior, Christ, and Lord, is descriptively important. And Savior is an Old Testament word that means one who delivers his people. And in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21, when the angel announced the birth of Jesus to Joseph, he said, give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Just like a fireman risking his life, you know, to save a person that is looking at his death with a fire that is burning in a high-rise building. And this fireman came in a tall ladder, coming in the nick of time, snatching the person from the burning flame. And this is the picture here, one who delivers his people, one who saves. So that night, the Savior was born who redeems the world from her sins. Next, the word Christ. Christ is the Greek version. It is Christos, okay? And the Hebrew version, which is equivalent to it, is the word Messiah, which means the anointed one. And then the third descriptive term that we want to take note of is Lord. Lord is a term for deity, and it's a synonym for God. We desperately need Christ the Lord, the Savior, don't we? And I invite now Jin to share how he obeyed the Savior's last minute prompting to respond to an urgent situation, and his obedience in stepping up, not only bringing comfort and joy to many. I leave it to him, okay, to share this touching and powerful story. Come, let's put our hands together.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church. My name is Ng Sun Jin, and my cell group leader is Poon Chee Lim. We are in PJS1 zone under Pastor Moy Hao. So this is my testimony. On the 19th of November, I was asked by a friend from another church if I would be willing to join a medical relief team on a mission trip to the Philippines. A huge fire had broken out in one of the slums, causing close to 5,000 people to lose their homes. The local church there was overwhelmed and needed some help. It was a Friday, and the team was due to leave in 4 days' time. Initially, I was very apprehensive. The dates were too close. I had workshops, meetings to attend, and I didn't even want to imagine what my boss's reaction would be if I were to tell him that I want to leave. So immediately, I said no. But right after saying that, I felt God saying to me that I needed to learn to make time for others. Otherwise, I would forever be too busy. A burden was beginning to form in my heart. That very night at CG, I spoke about it with Pastor Moy Hao. He encouraged me to step up, step out in obedience, and be bold. So, the following Tuesday, together with 8 other friends, we boarded a flight to Manila and headed to a city called Mandaluyong. We brought along clothes, medicine, toothbrushes, and toys for the kids. At Mandaluyong, we worked with a local Christian ministry called Dawn for the Poor. We visited the site that was burned down, and I saw how great the damage was. It was difficult to even imagine how the few of us could bring any help at all. Entire families were displaced to live in school gymnasiums, carrying whatever little that was left of their position, of their possession. Over the few days, we simply poured ourselves out to the people there. We cooked, shopped, distributed items, and listened to their heartbreaking stories. We tried our best to restore what was lost, and I can say that it was simply a treat just to see their faces brighten up when we brought the kids toys, and when the church got new guitars and instruments so that they could continue with the ministry. So I learned that God's plan is always for His church to bring comfort to His people. As a doctor, I was also part of the medical team. We tended to the sick and prayed for the brokenhearted. I recall an incident where there was an elderly man looking very troubled because he had a bad cough and had difficulty breathing. But just after administering some simple treatment, I could see a smile return to his face. Without having to say anything, I knew for sure that he felt better. And that brought a great joy to my heart. On a different occasion, our translator told me that the people we ministered to were really touched and grateful because they said that we were the first group of people who went to them in the gymnasiums to bring healthcare and, more importantly, to pray and listen to them. As I reflected upon the trip, I realized that the call of God can sometimes seem daunting in the beginning, but when we obey, His burden becomes easy and His yoke light. During the time spent in fellowship and worship, I simply felt the presence of God in such a tangible way and a unique way. And I learned that the heart of God is indeed for the poor and the brokenhearted and the weak. And so too should our hearts. Thank you, and God bless you.
When we meet together, usually we have average about 20, 25 folks, you know, young adults. And when it comes, full house, close to 40 of us, yeah. So when you are in my cell group, there's only no free meal there, yeah? Okay. Friends, we can indeed respond when our Savior called, right? And how, as I heard later, that Jin was not only, he was thinking that, you know, he wants to go there to bless others, but in return, he was the recipient of great blessing in his own life as he stepped out in obedience, yeah? So not only that Jesus came to save people from his sins, but he came to be Lord, ruler of the universe. And today he is the Lord of heaven. And one day he will return and set up his kingdom on this earth. Between now and then, we Christians are called to make him Lord of our lives on a daily basis. And this means surrendering your will to him and letting him lead the way. He is the Savior. He is Christ, and he is Lord, the one sent from God. And this is the heart of Christmas. God loved us enough to send his one and only Son. Think of it this way. God didn't delegate a task force, and he didn't write a book. He didn't even assign it to his personal assistant. When God was ready to save the world, he sent his best that he had. He gave the greatest gift, his only begotten Son. And in sending Jesus, he was really sending himself. And this is the ultimate truth of Christmas: Emmanuel, God with us. And it's an announcement of Christmas joy about Jesus' birth and a joyous proclamation that Jesus the Savior, the Christ the Lord, has arrived. And finally, a broadcast of great joy that Jesus is good news. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Let's pause for a moment and consider. When the angel made the announcement, who was he addressing to? That little word, you, there? Who was he addressing to? Yeah, I heard a little murmuring. Yes, the shepherds. And when the shepherds heard these words from the angels, they must have been shocked, because shepherds made up of the lowest class of people, coming in just ahead of the lepers. They were often poor, uneducated, and many of them were quite young. In the Talmud, which is a collection of interpretations and insights for the Jewish rabbis, we read this: no help is to be given to heathens or unbelievers or shepherds. These lowly shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of their work, they were unable to attend any religious services. These shepherds too, they were forgotten and isolated because their flocks needs to move around to find new grass and water. And they never stayed in one place for long. And these lowly shepherds, they were treated with mistrust and contempt because they are suspected of stealing from others and would often confuse yours as mine. And their testimony was not allowed in court because it doesn't hold weight. And these lowly shepherds, they were known to be brash and rough, because living out in the fields no one watching, you know, away from the society, made them unappealing to most people. So when the angel says, a Savior has been born to you, he is really saying, Christ came for the lowly shepherd. And when Christ came, his birth was first announced to the outcasts of society. They were the first ones to hear the good news of Christmas. And there is a great lesson in this for all of us. Our Lord came for the forgotten people of the earth. And most of the time, they are the ones who receive him with the greatest joy. The Lord comes to the lowly shepherds to help us see that God has a message for sinners just like us. Everyone matters to God. Because for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I love what pastor and author Max Lucado said. He was born for you and I, died for you and I, and he's alive today for you and I. If that be the matter of the fact, how then can we not announce the best ever news? Especially so at this opportune and meaningful time. I was so greatly encouraged, and I would like to commend PJ North One, led by Pastor Adrian Chong, where last Saturday they brought Christmas joys to the communities, the forgotten people, families, and friends. And this was on 3rd December. In the morning, this group led by Jason, they went around to appreciate the Alam Flora workers. And then next, another morning event that was a combination of three cell groups run by Ronnie, Anna, and Kenneth. There was a morning event where they reached out to the community at Lembah Subang. I heard that the lift was not working. So they have to carry, you know, the goodies up 16th floor. And as they were in this small little apartment, there were mosquitoes, and they were thinking, could there be some Zika mosquitoes, you know? But you know what? Thank God, you know, they brave it out. And I just want to salute them for doing so. They have brought Christmas joy to the children there. And the third event, an afternoon event at Jinjiang Canossian Convent, together with the Children's Church, led by Pastor Jonathan Yeo. And three cell groups were involved here, Ashwin, Chris, and Vincent. And they brought joy to the refugee children. And then fourth and final event, which culminated at an evening time in Hall 4. And there were five cell groups that were combining in this effort. And this was their cell group Christmas party. And it was together with Pastor Adrian, John, Winnie, and James, and Yvonne's cell group. So I was really so proud of them. In total, 250 people, including children, Christmas joys were showered, and many heard the good news. And on the 4th December, last Sunday, Sharon T's CG Christmas party, and this zone is led by Pastor Dylan Wong, there were 40 people in this party, 27 were guests, and there were 7 salvations, okay? You see the little number there? We just want to give thanks to the Lord, for this is a season of great harvest. Can we give a big clap to the Lord? Thank you. I was so very encouraged too. 2 days ago, I attended one of the Christmas party, and there were 60 people there. A good two-thirds of the 60 people, they were hearing, you know, the Christmas story for the first time. And in this party, there were 4 salvation. And Jerry, who is the cell group leader, gave such a compelling, inspiring sharing of the Christmas story. And I was just so proud of Jerry. Yeah. And then yesterday, I heard that there were many parties that were on. There were one held in the KL zone by Roger Hyung, and there were 20 guests that came. And also there was this cell group that went to about 8 different condominium apartments, and they did caroling. And the people are just so open in this season, you know, of bringing Christmas joy to their lives, okay? And likewise, I heard, too, that loads of campus students will be coming to our Christmas production choices, you know, this coming Friday or Saturday, yeah? So, church, I want to encourage us. I want us to go out full force in inviting our families, our friends, for this Christmas production on the 16th and the 17th of December. And the words of the angel to the Lord, to the shepherd, huh? The words of the angel to the shepherd. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say this to the person, to you. Say it with a little bit more conviction, to you. Well done, okay. And in the King James Version, for unto you is born this day. That really means that Jesus came for you. And this is where Christmas becomes intensely personal. And from the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth, he came to those who felt terrified and were overjoyed when they encountered the Savior. And in verses 12 to 13 of Matthew 9, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. And in verses 17 and 18 of Luke 2, when the shepherds had seen the baby, Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds that were once shy, do not want to mix with the society, were changed into bold witnesses for the Lord. They spread the news, and everyone who heard the message, they were amazed. It says everyone who heard the message, they were touched, they were amazed. And this has to be the work and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Again, the reminder to me, we need to step up in obedience and let the rest of the conviction of the Holy Spirit to come upon our families, upon our friends. Our hearts just have to respond. Yes, and obey. And let him do the rest. So with the Holy Spirit boldness, my loving invitation to you, go all out to invite your family, your friends, to the cell group Christmas party, and as well to this upcoming Christmas production. Because the greatest ever announcement, the great news of great joy given to the world has to be spread. And what is this source of that joy? The big idea here, Christ the Lord, the good news that brings great joy. I'd like to invite the worship team up. I've seen many friends standing up as we were welcoming you. Yeah. And I'd like to address this to our friends, especially those that have yet to encounter Jesus or have this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough to say that to abstractly say that Jesus Christ came. Thousands of people say that, and they are still lost in their sins. You can never be saved until you say, Christ came for me. He died for me. He rose from the dead for me. He came for you. The good news of great joy is Jesus Christ. And friends, what do? With the best ever announcement, the good news that brings great joy, I would lovingly say this to you. Open your heart and find a place in your heart today. Make Jesus a room in your heart. Corrie ten Boom said this. She was a Christian who helped many Jews to escape from the Nazi Holocaust. Her words, "If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost." Friends, it's time today to make sure that Jesus is born in you. And if you want to say yes and make room for Jesus in your heart and make Him Lord of your life, I'd like you to follow with me in this simple prayer. Three words: sorry, thank you, please. You're saying sorry to Jesus for causing Him pain and hurt by doing wrong things, because all of us, we have sinned. And we ask Him for an apology, and that is seeking of His forgiveness. Then the next word is thank you. Thank Him for loving you so much, for dying on the cross. And then He was buried, and then on the third day He rose from the dead. And then the last word, please. It's a kind invitation. It's a choice that you is in your hand to make. Please, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life and to make you as my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my Christ. Yeah.